Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
And this is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligence into their sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Our podcast today will cover the Revised Common Lectionary readings for Year C, Advent 2. But don't worry, it's not just another lectionary podcast. Let's explore the reason why. In 1983, Dr. Howard Gardner, professor of education at Harvard University, proposed a theory of multiple intelligences. He suggested that humans possess many types of intelligence, not just the one dimension measured by the standard IQ test. Research into cognitive processes led him to recognize, as he put it, that students possess different kinds of minds and therefore learn, remember, perform, and understand in different ways. Briefly, these different minds might be called word smart, vision smart, math smart, music smart, body smart, people smart, self smart, and one that was added later called nature smart. For more information on these intelligences, go to our webpage, morethanhearing.org, and look for the link about Dr. Gardner's work. It's at the top of the page.
Having learned about Dr. Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences, we've noticed as pastors and preachers that most of these smarts are wildly underused in our Sunday morning worship. We have many intriguing options to make the worship experience more engaging and memorable for our congregations. In our time together here, we will explore these different pathways to connect people with the Word of God. We may not get to all the intelligences in every podcast, but we'll do our best to include as many as possible. We've chosen to follow the Revised Common Lectionary for its structure and because we know many preachers also use it.
So what we plan to offer you here is a collection of sermon illustrations and special effects that are based on the different smarts. Our illustrations will be ways to engage the different intelligences through your words. That may seem a little contradictory, but it just means that you will describe ideas, events, or images in such a way that it will light up your listener's mind in a specific way.
For example, painting a word picture that they can see in their mind's eye for vision smart, or invoking the memory or expectation of sensations in their bodies for body smart, or triggering their internal reflections with an open question for self smart.
Special effects are the use of props or experiences that more actively and directly engage the congregation. Reciting a poem or rapping the morning psalm for music smart, drawing a graph or writing equations for math smart, inviting them to move around for body smart, or to talk with each other for people smart.
In some ways, this is nothing new, but the church has relied so heavily on word smart for so long, we hope this will make us all a little more intentional about being smart in different ways.
From time to time, we want to provide you with a little extra information about the different smarts. So here's a new segment we're calling Smart of the Week.
Today, we're starting at the top of our list with Vision Smart, also called Picture Smart. This intelligence is more formally referred to as Visual Spatial. Summarizing from the first chapter of Dr. Thomas Armstrong's book, Multiple Intelligences in the Classroom, it involves the capacity to accurately perceive the visual spatial world, to perform transformations on one's perceptions, and to produce graphical representations of the visual and spatial ideas. Visual smart includes sensitivity to color, line, shape, form, space, and the relationships between them. It is housed primarily in the posterior regions of the right hemisphere of the brain. Artists, stylists, architects, and inventors are particularly smart in this way. The rise of television and other visual media technologies has made this an especially important form of intelligence in our culture.
Visual spatial intelligence historically has found expression in the Christian tradition in stained glass windows, architecture of the worship space, illuminated scriptures, and iconography. The Reformation and Enlightenment periods greatly simplified and reduced the visual grandeur of the Renaissance. In recent years, the use of video projection in the sanctuary has reintroduced visual smart elements to worship, although many who have grown up with the intentionally simple visual worship spaces find video projection intrusive and sometimes distracting.
Nevertheless, because we live in such a visually oriented culture, it is important that we not only recover the past use of visual cues and connections with the scripture, but blend them with meaningful use of modern technology. And that's our Smart of the Week.
Yay!
The first reading for the second Sunday in Advent, Year C, comes from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. The images that have popped out for us for this particular reading are pretty much the whole thing, but beginning in verse 1 with the messenger being sent to prepare the way for the Lord, and that messenger being such an authority figure, such a powerful figure, that the question is, who can endure it when that person shows up? Who's going to be able to stand and face him because of the things that the messenger is bringing? A blazing fire like refining metal, or soap that folds and bleaches clothes. And the purpose of that is to purify the Levites so that they will be refined and made more holy and better able to serve the people as they serve God. So an illustration that we can use for that, particularly as you use the visual smart, which is our smart of the week, is to come up with images or come up with stories or illustrations or examples of ways that we prepare for the coming of an authority figure. Think, for example, how much the United States prepared for the coming of Pope Francis just a few months ago.
Or getting ready for Santa Claus.
Right. Oh, I forgot. Santa Claus.
Well, you know, sure.
Okay. All right. Whatever. So what special...
It came to me.
Yes. Okay. So what special effect might we have, David?
Well, a special effect that you might use is to have somebody designated as the one to prepare the way for you, the preacher. So on this particular Sunday, you might not come right out into the worship space at the beginning, but have your friend
Bob
come out, and he's going to come up, and he's going to find the place in the Bible on the pulpit, and he's going to have some water, put a water glass there for you or whatever, and come out and bring your stole and lay it over the chair and just, you know, do some things that make the space ready for you. And then after all that has happened, after, I don't know, the first hymn or something, then you come out into the space and put on the stole and off you go. You might not even refer to it as it's going on, but...
Mm-hmm. But there's a visual special effect for preparation, preparing the way of the Lord. The other verses that came out at us, particularly about purifying the Levites, is the sense that it's a realignment, being realigned with God and God's purpose. So illustrations for being realigned or being made pure for God's purpose would include?
The purification would be like taking a shower after you've been out in the yard doing yard work. You know, Molly does full contact yard work, and so she comes
it's
in.
Everywhere.
She's got grass in her hair, you know, the whole thing.
Awful.
And so
the only thing I can think of is getting a shower.
Getting a shower. And so
don't even talk
washing
to
off the dirt of the work. Or remembering when you were a child or when you had children and there's no choice at bath time.
That's right.
Just the kid goes in the tub and the washcloth full of suds all over the face, despite whatever protests. And
exactly.
Purified you get.
Purified, absolutely. And then as far as the alignment, the idea of alignment, David is an amateur astronomer, and so when he goes out to look at the night sky, he spends a great deal of time aligning his telescope so that it's pointing in the right place in the sky.
And getting the mirrors all lined up so
right.
that you get the best image.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
So things that you might use as a special effect for that, hey, bring in a telescope. See what it might be to actually line that up. If you have anyone in your congregation who is a chiropractor or a yoga instructor, Maybe have them talk a little bit about how you get your spine in alignment, what sorts of things you might need to do to get things all in proper alignment within your body. Oh, by the way, we're talking about body smart. I don't think we said that. but that would be a special effect for body smart.
And then your yoga instructor might have some exercises that the congregation can do right there in the pew to get themselves mm-hmm. sitting a little taller, a little straighter. Mm-hmm. If we go on to nature smart, the image that we have here is the refiner's fire. So calling to mind fire. And what happens with a refined metal. And there's some real strong visual elements to this as well. But
it's really, it's about nature and about what happens when metal gets hot.
Right. So the refiner is going to melt it down so that it becomes a pool of molten stuff. And all the bad stuff floats up to the top mm-hmm. and then gets skimmed off. So you can make use of those images for illustration. And if you can find it, you know, finding a lump of ore and a piece of the refined metal. So I don't know.
Before and after.
Yeah, before and after.
That would be cool. Yeah. And also the idea of the bleach for clothes, the Fuller's soap. Apparently, it's a lye-based soap that you use with wool, especially, and you drench it and you suds it up and you beat the tar out of it and you just get it to the point where so that the material is the fullness that is easiest and best desired to work with. So maybe bring in some OxyClean. Bring in one of those big tubs and be like Billy Mays. Just do a recreation of that Billy Mays commercial with the big gunky rust-colored water, and you toss in the OxyClean, swirl it around, and there you go. But you might want to try that at home first to make sure it works.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah, let's go on.
The second lesson for the second week of Advent, Year C, is Luke 1:68-79. This is in place of the psalm for the week. It's a canticle. It's called the Benedictus. It is the song of Zechariah, and it is a hymn of praise that he sings to God at the dedication of his son John. And parts of it he sings in praise to God, and parts of it are directed to his son, talking about the ministry that he's going to have when he grows up. So there is a movement in it that covers past, present, and future, and there's also a lot of imagery about light and the light breaking, the morning light breaking upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness, and that's toward the end of the passage. We want to start off again with visual smart and play on that idea of the morning light from heaven and the dawn breaking. So it being Advent, of course, you've got a built-in special effect right there if you have an Advent wreath or if you have other candles in the sanctuary or decorations in the sanctuary or as people are decorating their homes. Christmas lights. The appearance of light in the darkness and the increase of light mm-hmm. through the Advent wreath. Mm-hmm. So you have that built in. You could actually change the lighting in the sanctuary, perhaps, if you have that technical capability to start off with the lights low or dark and then add more and more as you go through the passage or as you talk about it. If you have somebody that is good at video editing, you could perhaps create a compilation of movie video clips where light breaks in. So,
all sorts of things.
Movie that just came out, the 33, about the South American
Chilean miners,
has a nice scene about that that kind of sparked it for us. You want to make sure that you are attentive to copyright in all of that. But I think it's fair use if you make a compilation to make a point.
Yes. David already referenced the fact that the canticle, the Benedictus, includes elements of past, present, and future of God working in and among the people. So one of the things you might use for music smart is to play a part of an overture, because most overtures incorporate little pieces of all the music in a musical. Think of a Broadway musical. Think of Handel's Messiah itself. It pulls in elements from throughout the work as it's starting. So as people are listening to that piece of music, they get, okay, I'm going to hear this. So it's little bits of everything. You could even use the Star-Spangled Banner. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? And the sun rises, and by golly, the flag is still waving. If you want to go that route, yeah. That's up to you.
Yeah. Then we have another combined one here for self-smart and people-smart.
This can happen a lot, actually.
That they double up, yeah. So we're going to start with self-smart and reflecting on the idea of light coming into the darkness and what that means spiritually, what dawn has come into your difficult times in life. So contemplating, inviting the congregation to contemplate their own dark night of the soul, perhaps,
and how the light came back into it.
And then invite them to share that with somebody who's sitting near them, or somebody who was maybe later, if you don't want to have them doing it right there in the time, have them engage with the person who was...
The light bringer. Oh, cool. Yeah. I like that idea. Yeah. What a way to affirm someone, especially at this time of year.
Yeah.
How cool. Yeah. Awesome. All right.
Let's go on.
The epistle lesson for the second Sunday in Advent is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And there's kind of a chiasm in those if you take a look at it, starting in verse 3, going to verse 6, and then from verse 9 through verse 11, there's some repetition there. Some themes that flow. And the themes that we have pulled out of these verses are God finishing a project in you, being in partnership with God, and the joy that that brings to people. So the first one we're going to look at is body smart.
So this is the idea of God finishing the good work in you, which Paul is writing about in terms of the spiritual completion in the resurrection. But a way of talking about that would be to talk about your various hobbies and crafts that you might do. Finishing a woodworking project, for example, or a baking project, or handcraft project, knitting.
Something that a lot of you goes into, because that's essentially what God is doing with us, is putting a lot of God's self into us through the resurrection.
Yeah. And the satisfaction of that job well done. So
isn't that lovely?
Isn't
she lovely?
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. Everything's a song.
Okay. Anyway, by way of special effect, bringing in your finished project. So whatever it is that you have, or if you're not a particularly hobby-minded person and do projects like that, invite members of the congregation to maybe bring something in that they've been working on to finish up and show it off.
That's a way to partner up with people, which is another theme that we connected with in this particular passage. Paul is talking to the Philippians and reminding them of the partnership that they have had up to this point, and he's so excited about seeing them again. Illustrations that you could use for your sermon in talking about partnership is just talk about the ways that you have partnered with people there in their congregation, things that sessions done, things that committees done, things that various and sundry groups have done, the way that they've gotten together and the way they've done a good job, a good work working together. And some of the commentary that I read about this particular passage, I don't remember who it was, so I can't give proper attribution, but the thought was that when the Israelites were standing there, or the Hebrews were standing at the edge of the Red Sea and Pharaoh was hot on their heels, God didn't open the sea until somebody had the courage to look at the water and jump in. And so that person acting, God said, well, okay, let's do that. So that's an illustration you might want to look and see if you can figure out who that was and then attribute it. And then let me know, because I can't remember. But effects that you might, a special effect you might have, this is the body, the kinesthetic smart. Ways that you partner up with people, dancing. Ballroom dancing. You partner up and you learn to move together. You learn to move together in time. You learn to move together in confidence. It can be a beautiful thing. It really can.
So if you have somebody in your congregation or if you yourself are skilled in the ballroom arts, then have them give a little demonstration, do a little a little dance there right up front.
And then talk about the joy of it, the joy that this partnership brings and how this learning and mastering and completing something is joyful. Mm-hmm. And then this can be used in the self-smart.
Right. So self-smart, the verse that we're tagging on here is the end of verse 3 and into 4. Every time I think of you, I thank my God. And whenever I mention you in my prayers, it makes me happy. So for self-smart reflection, calling to mind for people the one who is dear to them, and then for special effect, inviting them to actually do that and to call that person to mind. And what you might have them do even is to cup their hands in front of them and imagine that person resting right there in their hands.
So you've also kind of incorporated a little bit of body smart.
We're getting a little
well.
Body smart mm-hmm. into that. And so as they can maybe even see that person's face resting in their hands and then continue to make it a body smart activity by having them draw it into their heart and hold that person to their heart in a very real way. Then you can make it tag on some interpersonal, some people smart with that, and invite them again, as we said in the last one, later to get in touch with that person if that's still an option, if that person mm-hmm. is still living, mm-hmm. and talk with them about what they mean to them, and if it's appropriate, share something about your faith with that person.
Mm-hmm. Good. Let's go on.
Let's go on. The gospel lesson for the second week in Advent, year C, is Luke 3, verses 1 through 6. As often is the case, Luke starts off this passage by anchoring it in history, and so we get a list of various political leaders and religious leaders and where they are to start us off, and then he introduces to us John the Baptizer, and we'll talk a little bit more about these, but some of the things that we're going to cue on there come from commentaries by Mark Davis, David Lohse, and Carl Jacobson. We'll put those links to those in the show notes for you. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. After he sets the stage there, then he has John's declarations, his first things, quoting the prophet Isaiah. So he calls people to turn and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, and then quotes Luke quotes Isaiah with the passage in the desert, someone is shouting, prepare the way. So to start us off with this, we haven't talked about a math logic smart yet, so let's take a look at how this might work here. The way Luke sets this up, and according to our commenters here, he's not just anchoring this in history, but showing the relationships of the rich, the powerful, the powers that be, the mighty. And here's the backdrop of history and all these powerful people. And out of that, out there in the wilderness, far away from it all, comes
John.
And so we have a really powerful inverse relationship. And so this is a math thing, inverse relationship, where as one thing increases, the other decreases. And so as one is large, the other is small. You may also think that may also trigger for you the butterfly effect, which is in a complex system where a small cause produces a very large and unpredictable effect. Mm-hmm. The physics of this, and this again overlaps with perhaps natural or body, but the idea of a lever with a fulcrum to move large things. And the thing with a lever is that as you adjust it from side to side, if you have a short end and a long end resting on the fulcrum, you can move very large, heavy objects by moving the large end, but you only move them a small amount.
And sometimes that's all it takes. You just need a little bit to move.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And the reverse is true, that you can move something a large distance by using the small end, but it takes
you
a lot of force. So John represents the small end of the lever, but with a great force, a disproportionate amount of force, which comes from his preaching through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And with that, he is able to move a large number of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be a stretch, but I think it works.
Mm-hmm. And a way you could do that for a special effect would be have something really big and heavy up front and invite a small person, a little kid, to come up and use a lever to move it.
Yeah.
And explain the properties of a fulcrum and how physics works this way. Nature smart, again, small things having a large effect. Talk about mice and termites. Tiny little things, but boy, can they cause an awful lot of destruction. Big repair bill. Or talk about ants moving things within their colonies or to and from their colonies. Little teeny tiny things, but they can move an incredible amount on their backs.
Or a stone in your shoe.
Tiny little thing.
Small thing. Can
make you stop.
Yeah.
Speaking of stones, another thing you can do with the idea of the saving effect, the saving of power, and getting the road ready for the coming of the one who will save, is to, what I'm going to talk about now actually includes three of the smarts: the visual spatial smart, the body kinesthetic smart, and the self intrapersonal smart, in the way that John the Baptist is calling for a pathway that leads to forgiveness, but not just of an individual. There's the intrapersonal, the self smart there of the forgiveness of the individual. You can do a great deal with that. But it's not just individuals. The forgiveness that John points to is a worldview where the entire world eventually embraces the pathway of forgiveness. What a difference that would make. Every single individual in the world embracing the pathway of forgiveness. Mm. Mind blown.
Mm.
So what you could probably do with this one it would be to, as a special effect, this is going to take a little bit of prep time. Have a bunch of boxes or even paving stones in a jumble at your worship service. And then as the Luke passage is read, you can have people come forward and lay out the pavers from the point where most people enter the space up to the chancel. And you could add music smart to this and have people sing "Prepare ye the way of the Lord" from God's bell during that, if you want to do that.
Nice.
That might be a bit much, but anyway.
or ease on down the road from the whiz?
No. Well, I don't know. You'd have to paint those things yellow.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, so you're setting out these pavers up to a point. And then when you get to that last part where you talk about everyone will see the salvation of God, put a cross right there. Blam. And then another way you could include the body kinesthetic part is if you were serving communion that Sunday. It's the first Sunday of the month. I don't know what your schedule is. It's going to work that way for me. So I'm going to actually try this. Is to set up the pathway, have the cross there, and then when it comes time for the communion service, have the people walk the pathway of forgiveness to the cross and see the salvation of God. Booyah! So there you go.
Nice. That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org. Or at our More Than Hearing Facebook page, or tweet us at More Than Hearing. If any of these suggestions spark an idea for you, let us know what you did and how it went. We'd love to hear about how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for the show notes on our website. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS feeds. We'll be back with another installment next week. In the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
is a Whippet Good production.